At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
It's Freddie Prinze Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff, are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddie?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
This is VSiN Final Countdown with Stormy Bonatoni and Matt Brown on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Thursday edition. Final Countdown here on VSiN, VSiN.com. Matt Brown. That's not Jeff Parles. That is actually Adam Burke. And but guess what? We're gonna get you your own little name tag there before
Sounds
the end of
good.
The show. Yeah, no big deal.
Do you need a different chair, or are you good?
And no, well, see, yeah, we'll peel back the curtain. You know, it's just one of those things where it's like, Parles decided that he needed the wide butt chair instead of a little skinny butt chair, and then like it had me to where I was like looking up at the microphone like this, had to do the last minute switch. But hey, it's okay. Everything is good to go. We're ready to rock and roll. It's a Thursday, baby. We got a week. And 4 days until the Super Bowl. I know you have already put, what, 600-700 bets in your account already?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm just ready for this game to kick off.
You're firing left and right on stuff? Like, yep. Did you get it going?
And the lines aren't sharp or anything.
Yeah. I mean, listen, let me ask you the question here and just, you know, be honest. How many for fun bets do you think that you'll make? Because, I mean, it is the Super Bowl, and this is the only time of year that I actually advocate to people to make for fun bets. You're going to get together with your friends or your family, or you're going to a place and you're going to make a big deal out of it. You don't want un bet that you're just sitting there like sweating the entire time. Like you want a portfolio.
Yeah, I mean, look, because I'm doing college basketball and then also have Major League Baseball, I have money tied up in season win totals and stuff like that for baseball. I don't go as crazy as I probably could. Mm. I would say maybe, you know, 3 to 5 things that are kind of, you know, taking some long shot type stuff, take a really long shot for MVP, you know, something about first touchdown, something like that. I'll do stuff like that, but I won't do anything. I won't do anything too outlandish. I don't believe in fun, Matt Brown. I don't believe in fun.
I mean, you know, it's okay. It's okay. I'll see if I can't squeeze you into like a couple of bets, you know, before the end of the show today, just some novelty bets.
That works.
Things that, you know, maybe you can, that you have absolutely no skill whatsoever, and it's just like, you know what, I'm going to have some fun here Super Bowl Sunday. We'll see if we can't do that. As we sit right now, it is Philadelphia Eagles still 1.5-point favorites here over the Chiefs. 50.5 is the total. There's 151 rest of country out there, so if you are looking to play the under, I would go seek that book out if I were you. I do think, though, and I can't say for certain because we've never had this many markets betting into the Super Bowl before. We've never had this many people, because you got to remember, some of these markets that we had last year are just now maturing, right? And are just now getting to kind of critical mass when it comes to being able to bet and all of that. And so I assume we will see what we have seen in years past, which is everybody betting the over. Most people looking to take the money line on the underdog, which then creates a little bit of value on the money line on the favorite and all of that. But again, I don't know, because there are now tens of millions of new people who can bet. And of that group of people, there's probably a decent amount of people who know what they're doing. And so I don't know. I just assume we used to see that all the time here, Adam, because when there was no other place to bet, everyone comes to Vegas for the Super Bowl, and so there was so much casual money and so many people going over the counter just betting the underdog money line, just betting the over complete. You just knew. If you wanted the under, you waited until 20 minutes before kickoff to go bet the under. If you wanted the favorite, you waited until 30 minutes before kickoff. You could bet them on the money line and get some value there. I assume we will see that again this year, but I guess I can't say for certain.
You know, I think it's a really good point, especially when you consider the fact that we have an East Coast team in the Super Bowl in that Pennsylvania, New York, New Jersey corridor, where you know you run into a situation where there's probably a lot of Eagles money in those three states. And then, you know, what does the rest of country end up doing with this game where, you know, it seems like Colorado is probably going the Chiefs way, maybe just because they see Patrick Mahomes twice a year and, you know, kind of know what he's capable of. But that's sort of an interesting thing, too, from a balancing risk standpoint, you know, from state to state, it's going to be really different. I mean, you think about if the Bengals had been in this Super Bowl, you know, there were some books in Ohio that had already paid out Bengals futures as kind of a promo thing. You know, Ohio is going to be a top three, top five state when it comes to betting handle. Mm-hmm. What if the Bengals had been in this game? And all of a sudden you've got Bengals versus Eagles, and now you've got East Coast versus Rust Belt, basically Midwest. So those are really fascinating things because, as you said, you know, in the past, for most of the 57, 56 Super Bowls that we've had, it's just been here. And then, of course, the offshore markets.
Yeah, and that's why I was actually just – not only did I have them – in some bets, and obviously I had some futures on them, and Jesus H. Burrow is my guy. But I was also looking for that because it is the new shiny toy in Ohio as well, and I really did want to see what the numbers looked like and how things shook out, because not only did they not have legalized sports betting even a couple of months ago, but now your team is playing, you know, one of your state team is playing in the Super Bowl. I can't even imagine what the splits would have looked like. It would have been fantastic for us to kind of analyze.
And what's a shame is that we didn't get to find that out really with Ohio State because, you know, sports betting went live at midnight on January 1st.
As the kick was going wide.
Right. Yeah, of course. As I was on a flight back here after getting stranded by Southwest Airlines. So I rang in the new year in complete style as an Ohioan.
Yeah, it was as the kick was going wide was when legalized sports betting happened. It was just amazing stuff. So Patrick Mahomes' ankle comes in, says he avoided any setbacks against Cincinnati. We figured that as it was. He, you know, basically said he's going to be good to go. I talked to Jeff a couple different times. Stormy was in, obviously, earlier in the week, and I think we were all under the same impression here that I was looking at this and handicapping this as if we are getting a near completely healthy, if not completely healthy, Patrick Mahomes. We know these high ankle sprains, even if it was a high ankle sprain, which I'm skeptical that it was in the first place, take about 3 or 4 weeks to heal as it is. Anyway, it'll be 3 full weeks by the time this comes around, and it seems like he had, if it was technically a high ankle sprain, the most mild high ankle sprain in the history of high ankle sprains. So are you looking at it as if we're getting, like, basically full capacity Patrick Mahomes?
I mean, I think you have to until proven otherwise, right? I mean, we saw basically pretty full capacity Patrick Mahomes until he re-aggravated it in the AFC Championship game and then kind of hobbled around a little bit. And, of course, still had some throws that were absolutely absurd. But, you know, I agree with what Jeff and Amal were talking about, you know, right into the lead up to our show. And I know you guys have talked about this on this week's shows as well. If you like the Chiefs, you just bet Patrick Mahomes to win the MVP. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's hard to envision a scenario in which the Chiefs win this game and Mahomes isn't really solid, or at least good enough for, you know, him to get the benefit of the doubt. You think about the Super Bowl against the 49ers, he was awful for 3.5 quarters, basically. Damian Williams probably should have won the MVP that year, but Mahomes wound up winning it with some pretty pedestrian numbers. It's hard to see a scenario in which, you know, the Chiefs win this game and Mahomes isn't the MVP. We haven't had a regular season and Super Bowl MVP in the same year since 1999. That was Kurt Warner. So it's an easy story to write for the writers as well. But, I mean, what would you say? It's maybe a 5% outcome that the Chiefs win this game and somebody other than Mahomes wins MVP?
Yeah, it would have to be the most unlikely game script basically ever, too, because you have to think, like, what would it take for one of the other guys? Like, I don't even think it's going to be an offensive player. If it's not a defensive player, it's going to be Patrick Mahomes, in my opinion. Like, and so then what would it take from a defensive standpoint? It would take a guy to have, what, 4 sacks and a fumble recovery, or 2 picks and one of them be a pick six, or some kind of something crazy like that. And the game script most likely for the Eagles is not going to be putting the ball at risk like that enough for that to even come to fruition, right? I mean, like, they want to be a run-heavy team. They want to kind of establish it, be it Hurts or Sanders or Gainwell on the ground and stuff. And so even the way that I think the Eagles want to play doesn't even lend to that being anyone else other than Patrick Mahomes as well. So, yeah, I've been kind of screaming this. I mean, plus 130, it's obviously better than you're getting on the money line for the Chiefs. And if you kind of look at every way this game goes the Chiefs' way, Patrick Mahomes just is never throwing for under 250, right, for them to get home in this. I mean, like, he's just never throwing for under 250 yards. And if he gets to 250, he's going to win.
Right, and when you think about, you know, the defensive players that have won this award in the past, I mean, Von Miller in Super Bowl 50 is really the only pass rusher that has gotten there. I mean, a lot of times you have to have a pick or two, a pick six, as you mentioned. And you think about Dexter Jackson, who had a couple of picks on the Super Bowl where he won MVP. All three other picks were run back for touchdowns. He didn't even have one of those and still found a way to win the award. So it's really about generating interceptions more than anything, where Von Miller was the exception in that 24-10 Super Bowl that – wasn't particularly good anyway. So you have to be a guy that generally gets interceptions. And Jalen Hurts threw, what, 6 during the regular season?
Right.
And Mahomes, he threw 12. But if he throws one, what are the chances it actually gets returned for a touchdown? So you could even make the case, and I think it's a little bit harder to do, but you could even make the case that instead of laying $125 on Philly money line, you know, I mean, it could be Miles Sanders. It could be Devontae Smith. But odds are, if they win the game, it's probably Jalen Hurts.
I was looking at this last night where I'm like, okay, let's do a realistic game script in which it's someone other than Mahomes on the offensive side of the ball for the Chiefs. And my only thing would be, and I do not think, disclaimer, I do not think this game's going to be a blowout. I do not think this is going to be a run out for either one of these teams. However, could it be a case in which the Chiefs get up 20 points in the first half off of Travis Kelce catching 8 balls for 82 yards and 2 touchdowns, and then the second half is them just melting the clock away and Mahomes not even having to put it in the air or whatever. Like, that's kind of like the only scenario that I could even come to that is somewhat realistic, where they just have a huge lead at half. It's because Kelce just lit them up, whatever, has a couple of touchdowns or something, and then they just don't throw it very much in the second half. And then at that case, maybe you could then give it to Kelce. I do not think that's a very likely game script. I think this game plays pretty tight, but if you're trying to talk yourself into someone other than Mahomes, I think it happened to be something like that.
Right, and that game script is plausible.
Right.
But at 10-1, is it worth taking Travis Kelce on the off chance that winds up happening? Because, look, again, you think about the way that this vote comes down, and you know, fans do have a percentage of the vote or whatever, but a lot of times it comes from the writers, the people that cover the NFL. Yes, there's a story to be had about Travis Kelce, first tight end to win MVP, in a game against his brother, all that. But, you know, again, that this is such a low percentage outcome that it's hard. And look, I think DraftKings actually has minus 650 for a quarterback to win MVP.
Yeah.
That might even be light, honestly.
Hang around. We are going to have Adam Levitan a little bit later in the program from Establish the Run. We'll talk some props with him. We'll have Mike Randall from FTN Fantasy on as well to talk what they have going into the accounts. It's going to be a great show here as we continue to run through some more news that is coming out. Do we think we are going to have Mecole Hardman for the Super Bowl? Talk about that on the other side.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Attention all wrestling aficionados. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. This is Freddie Prinze Jr., and I am beyond thrilled to announce that our wrestling extravaganza is back, and joining me once again is the one and only Jeff Dye.
Get ready as we highlight the most jaw-dropping matches, dissect the fiercest feuds, and uncover the latest twists and turns in the world of pro wrestling.
We're dusting off our legendary side quests and unleashing a barrage of brand new segments that will keep you guys on the edge of your seat, like our talks on Unsanctioned Thursdays.
Freddy, you know we gotta give the people what they want. This season, we have an all-star lineup of special guests who are gonna be gracing our podcast, bringing with them their own unique insights, experiences, and all of that in the world of pro wrestling and beyond.
Whether you're a seasoned wrestling veteran or a fresh-faced newcomer, we promise an experience like no other. So buckle up, wrestling fans. Listen to Wrestling with Freddy as part of the My Cultura podcast network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Last season on the Choosing Sides F1 podcast, we established unequivocally that F1 is the pinnacle of motorsports.
Lily Herman, my co-host in season one, helped me choose a team, a driver, and then...
Well, we sent you on your jolly way.
Yeah.
I'm Tony Cam Brown, a tech, culture, and F1 commentator.
I'm Michael Costa, comedian, Daily Show correspondent.
And we're back with season two because, as it turns out, F1's newest fan is still a little...
dazed and confused.
Join us for season two of Choosing Sides F1 as we dive deeper into the rabbit hole of the pinnacle of motorsports.
Who makes money here?
What's CFD?
How do you manage a tire?
You, get back in there.
What are the rumors? What's the gossip?
But you also know that someone's listening to your radio.
I'm going to pull up a picture of a tea cozy. I want to see what this thing looks like.
Are you going to be doing that accent this whole pod?
Listen to season two of Choosing Sides F1 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts,
or wherever you get your podcasts. You find it.
Hey guys, this is Matt Jones, Drew Franklin from the Fade This podcast. We got a great episode coming up, picks in all the sports, football, basketball, we do them all. But here's a preview of this week's episode.
Do you think it's more embarrassing to dye your hair or to have hair plugs?
I don't think either are embarrassing if you're not trying to conceal it and act like you didn't.
Okay, so you think if you just come out and go, I got hair plugs...
Yeah, like check out these hair. I mean, don't just walk around, hey, tapping, hey, stranger, I don't want you thinking this is natural. You know, but I mean,
do you have to do that with everyone you meet?
Some people try to act like they, you know what I mean?
Yeah. But I mean, like John Cena got him. You know, when John Cena came back to wrestling, he had a bald spot, and now he doesn't. Mm-hmm. You think he should be required in all interviews to say, look, by the way, I covered up my bald spot?
Yeah, I guess it's weird. I mean, you don't wear a sign or like put a sign in your yard, but.
All right, so what about toupees?
Those are the most obvious.
But let's say you're like Bill Self and you can get it to where it looks good.
His is magical. I don't even know if his is a toupee.
It is.
I think he went into the future and had a procedure we haven't even discovered yet.
And this episode was brought to you in partnership with DraftKings. To hear more, listen and subscribe to Fade This on iHeartRadio or wherever you listen to podcasts.
This is VSiN's Final Countdown with Stormy Bonatoni and Matt Brown on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Hey, Adam.
Yes, sir.
Next weekend will be the last weekend of football, and Bet Rivers Online Sportsbook's the place to be. You can win up to $10,000 in bonus money instantly by playing an exclusive Bet Rivers Squares for the football game on Sunday. Place $10 or more in qualifying bets. You get a square on the house. If your numbers on the square match the final score of the game, you win. There are restrictions that do apply, so full terms and conditions are available over at BetRiversSquares.com. Go in, check that out. Free square on the house if you make a $10 bet. Bet the Gatorade color, and then you get a free square. There you go. Gatorade color, what is it? Orange? Yellow? Is yellow a color or is it green? Is it yellow? Green? Which one is it? Is it yellow? I guess they call it yellow.
Yellow, yeah.
The lemon
there is
lime.
A green one, but I don't... I think it's really all that popular with teams.
Yeah,
right?
Purple. Purple's great.
Purples, yeah.
Purple's,
I mean, if the Chiefs win, it's red, right?
Fruit punch? Yeah. I don't know. What is Patrick Mahomes like? Maybe Patrick Mahomes hates fruit punch.
That's true. Maybe like he does. Maybe he prefers orange?
We do actually have odds for this, where it's orange plus 350, yellow / green. Okay, so they put them together. I was going to say, it's okay. Kind of a weird, you know, it's kind of a weird color. Yellow-green is 4-1. Blue is 4-1. Red-pink, 4.5-1. Water just going to be 5-1. Purple is 750, and then they're not going to get anybody. It's 10-1. No one gets got 10-1. They get got every year. And if they miss the first one, they go in for a second one. Like, I mean, so they're not going to – there's zero chance no one's getting got. That should be way longer than 10-1. So that one's – let's mark that one off the list for sure. And we go in, and now really we just got to do some sleuth work. Someone that went to high school with Patrick Mahomes, was he like, you know, was he into – like, you know, if you're a Chiefs guy. If you're an Eagles guy, then you got to figure out what Jalen Hurts likes or something. You know, like whatever. What was his favorite flavor as he was kind of coming through?
This is what Twitter's good for, right? Yeah. Maybe somebody will tweet the show.
And we just crowdsource, like, hey, did you play high school and or college ball with either one of the quarterbacks? And if so, what was their flavor of choice?
Yeah.
And we can see if we can at least try to get in the right direction. You got to think Patrick Mahomes has some sort of weight in what Gatorade is like on the sidelines.
You would think so.
You would think.
I mean, the starting quarterback probably dictates
it's
that,
basically
right?
Like him and Kelsey or like just whatever they say goes is what I'm guessing. I'm just guessing, but that's
okay. I think that's fair.
Yeah.
Like, I think that's the way that I would handicap it.
And then on the Eagles side, now that's a little more dicey. You'd have a few more alphas on that sideline than you do with the Chiefs. But I'm guessing we can probably crowdsource this and come down to the winner for sure, and then we'll just bet us, you know, max bet. We'll just max bet these things.
Right.
Yeah.
I'll ride with you down to Arizona.
Yeah, we'll just pop on down and we'll get this in there. Clear water. Andy Reid does seem like he almost has like a pregame talk with him, like, by the way, if we win, don't you color
dare.
Me up. Yeah. Yeah. Water one, it's fine, but don't you color me up. I'm not getting colored up here. Yeah. So we're gonna take a look at that.
Oh. Well, I don't know. I mean, look, is this one of the fun bets that you mentioned earlier?
Yeah, man. Yes.
Okay.
That's absolutely what we're going to do.
Well, so fun, we can't bet it here.
Yeah. Andy Reid did come out and say that Mecole Hardman, though, with that pelvis injury, is likely to miss the Super Bowl. Does that change your opinion of the offense at all? Or, I mean, listen, we kind of saw what they were able to do with MVS. And it's just like, it's basically as long as Mahomes is on the field, I don't even know at this point if I'm downgrading anything.
Well, I think the weird thing is when you look at the AFC Championship game, and I kind of wrote about this over at VSiN.com earlier in the week, like all of a sudden Pacheco became a big part of the passing game. Mm-hmm. Like that had not been a thing at all. He averaged fewer than one reception per game during the regular season. I know that early on in the year, Edwards-Helaire was still kind of hanging around and all that, but like all of a sudden, then he has five catches for, what was it, 59 yards in the AFC Championship game. Was that kind of a byproduct of Hardman going out? Is that just, you know, a lack of continuity between Mahomes and his receivers, not named Travis Kelce? I don't know, but then all of a sudden, as you mentioned, Valdes-Scantling winds up with this big game in the AFC Championship game, which I think makes it kind of hard when you think about trying to bet props for this game for these two teams. They both spread the ball around pretty well. Obviously, Kelce gets, you know, the lion's share of the targets and stuff for the Chiefs. But, like, beyond Kelce, whose number is pretty high to begin with, like, I really am having a hard time figuring out where to go with Chiefs player props here.
You look, he also said he is optimistic that Juju Smith-Schuster and Kadarius Toney would be able to play in the Super Bowl. Of course, both of those guys went down with injuries in the AFC Championship game. A knee for Juju Smith-Schuster, an ankle for Kadarius Toney. With that, like you said, more mouths to feed, right? As opposed to just like maybe going, okay, listen, if these guys are out from the beginning, do they focus on Kelce more? Do they try to? Now, if all these guys are going to play, I'd basically only feel comfortable in, as far as receiving props go, only feel comfortable in some sort of Kelce angle because, like you said, it's just we haven't had the Kadarius Toney game yet, but is that crazy to think that could happen? No, I mean, we'd never had a – who would have ever thought we were going to have an MVS game, and then we had an MVS game, you know? So, I mean, like, for me, outside of Kelce, I think that Mahomes is just so incredibly talented and kind of plays that backyard football enough to where – I don't feel comfortable in really any of the receiving options outside of Kelce.
No, I think it's tricky. And also you look at Juju Smith-Schuster, and I mean, even before getting hurt in the AFC Championship game, he had nine catches over his previous four games and had no more than 35 yards receiving in a game. So it's not like he was that big of an option anyway.
Yeah.
So I don't know. It just seems like Mahomes kind of goes with whatever the hot hand is. But I will say that maybe by default, just because Valdes-Scantling is the healthiest of the non-Kelce guys, maybe he's the one that you kind of look at, even though he's more of a deep ball threat usually. You know, maybe he's a guy that they kind of morph into something of a possession receiver in this game.
Yeah, if we look, some of the other headlines coming out today, one of the writers over at The Athletic said that T. Higgins actually could be on the trade block for a top draft pick if a contract extension's unable to get done. I mean, listen, the one thing we kind of know about Cincinnati, and this is something that I actually even speculated on about a month and a half ago, was that he might be a guy that they could try and move for a pick or two, because paying Burrow and Chase and Higgins was likely not going to be in the best interest of the team when we're talking about, you still got to have a defense, you still got to have an offensive line, you still got to have whatever. So it's kind of like, hey, look, if as long as we have Burrow and Chase, Boyd, you can probably get at a discount, and then maybe you just draft another. You know, you kind of continue with the drafting of a receiver and see if you can't get that, you know, solid number two. They lucked into kind of a 1A, 1B situation with Higgins and Chase, but maybe you can get to where you get kind of a solid number two, always rotating around Chase. Boyd, one of the better threes in the entire NFL. I think this is probably a good sound strategy for this team, for the future of the team kind of moving forward. I mean, I know they'll at least have talks with them and see if they can get something done, but you can't pay all three of those guys.
Right. No, absolutely not. And look, I mean, it's tricky because there are so many good wide receivers that come out in the draft year in and year out that, you know, do you want to commit a large amount of dollars to T. Higgins when, you know, it seems like they're going to continue to have offensive line issues. I mean, that was something that they allegedly solved over the offseason. To a degree, they did. But then, of course, you know, you saw the lack of depth kind of come to fruition for them once they got deeper into the playoffs. So do you really want, when you're a team that's that close, you know, you probably believe in your player personnel department. You know you can get a good wide receiver in the second round, a possession-type guy like Higgins. Why commit, you know, outrageous dollar amounts to him when you have other needs and then can just fill that again with a draft pick?
Yeah. Then we look, Zach Rosenblatt over at The Athletic says to, you know, quote here, keep an eye on the Rams for quarterback Mike White out there. I mean, we understand that the thought, at least, is that Matthew Stafford is going to be back for the Rams, but this is like multiple injuries for him. He is certainly older. He's made his money. He's got his Super Bowl. I think that he is much more likely to be a dude that if he goes out there in these, you know, in the offseason, Adam, and is trying to do some working out and that back is still not right or that elbow is still not right. He doesn't seem like the type of guy to me anyway that's going to hold on and have like a couple of crap seasons. He seems like the dude who just be like, look, I got my Super Bowl. I did made a bunch of money. I'm out of here.
Yeah. No, I think it's fair. And getting the Super Bowl is a big deal, yeah. Right? I mean, you played on so many bad Lions teams for so long. You left. You got your ring. What else is there really to prove? Especially now, not even just the back thing, but he had, what, two or three concussions this past season? I think it was three, actually. So that's another thing, you know, on top of however many he had previously throughout his career. You know, that's something, especially, you know, with how vocal his wife was on social media and all those kinds of things. Like, they're very much aware in that household of, you know, the concerns that come along with concussions. What's the point in hanging around and possibly getting another one next year? But then again, I mean, that leads to kind of an interesting thing. Like, if you're going to get Mike White, like, are the Rams just going to kind of blow this thing up and see what they can build up again?
I think you probably have to, right?
Yeah, I think so, too.
I think you probably have to at that point. And, you know, we'll talk a little bit later in the program about just all these teams that need quarterbacks, what this means, where we think some of these guys might go. An interesting little tweet exchange yesterday that we can also get to that involves one Aaron Rodgers and a former receiver of his that is kind of floating out there from the coaching standpoint. The vacated jobs that are still available out there, the Colts are apparently going to go through a third round of interviews, and then Josina Anderson says the Cardinals are at least going to interview Aaron Glenn again for the team's head coaching job as well. So the Colts and the Cardinals still looking for their next guy. I don't know if it's going to make a difference in the Cardinals situation. In the Colts situation, there's some people still around. Adam Levitan from Established to Run here on the other side.
This is VSiN's Final Countdown with Stormy Bonatoni and Matt Brown on VSiN, the sports betting network.
The big game means big plans for VSiN. VSiN will be in the middle of the action and broadcasting live from Radio Row in Phoenix, Arizona. Athlete and celebrity interviews, plus our experts breaking down the game. You won't want to miss any of VSiN's coverage. Huddle up, watch Follow the Money, Lombardi Line, VSiN Final Countdown. Hey, that's us. And VSiN Primetime, all live from Radio Row starting next week. Betting splits, expert picks, and betting props. You can head on over to VSiN.com for all of those. VSIN.com. You can also head to Stormy's Twitter, in which she retweeted the press release that was out tonight, today. Maybe it was last night. I don't know. It was something. I don't know. I can't even remember. It was like, it was either last night or today, but there's a whole press release. You can get the schedule, the full schedule of what's going to be going on all day from the booth, which I think is going to be pretty interesting. They split me and Stormy up. I don't know if you, so she's down there the first 3 days. I'm down there the last 2 days. They couldn't handle us there together. Too much shenanigans, things going on, like had to split us up.
It makes sense.
Yeah.
There's separate corners for the Super Bowl for you guys.
Yeah. So it's over on the Twitter machine if you want to take a look at the full lineup that we will have going down there. Some other people more famous than me also going to be on the desk throughout the course of the day. At my fame level at one. If so, you don't have to be very much more famous to be more famous than me.
So am I? I'm a negative integer then when it comes to fame level.
If you're
a one,
if the Q score for me would be 0 point something, like 0.01 or some kind of something like that for sure. So we'll see where, you know, you let me know where you think that you would end up in all of that. We were talking about the Super Bowl MVP. Jalen Hurts is +120. Patrick Mahomes is +130. So we talked about the two quarterbacks being the favorite. Travis Kelce is 10-1. Also AJ Brown, 10-1, which I find a little interesting because it's, to me, much more likely a Kelce win as a receiver than an AJ Brown win as a receiver. And so I would like be looking for bigger odds than 10-1 on AJ Brown. If I was going to go receiver, then I would probably just go Devontae Smith then at 25-1, you know, just because you're getting more than double the odds. I don't think that AJ Brown and Kelce warrant the same odds, really, because the usage isn't the same.
Right. Well, and it's kind of funny. I mean, A.J. Brown, his line is 11 yards higher in terms of his over-under for receiving yards. But from a reception standpoint, both guys are at 5.5 and plus money on the over.
Yeah.
So that's kind of interesting. And A.J. Brown is a guy who, maybe it's the knee, he hasn't really been used as much here of late as he was, you know, a few weeks prior. And, of course, too, you know, Jalen Hurts being hurt. And Jalen Hurts did come out today and said, you know, the shoulder's still kind of a work in progress. So then you're like, okay, well, I don't know what skill position guy, if any, go off for the Eagles in this game.
Now joining us here on the program, your friend and mine. You can find him over at Establish the Run or on the Twitter machine at Adam Levitan. He is, in fact, Adam Levitan. Adam, thanks for joining us, buddy.
Hey, how's it going, Matt? How are you?
Doing good, man. Doing good. It is. Is it a little bittersweet for you that football season is coming to an end, or is the grind so incredibly tough throughout the course of the 6 months that you're like, I'm looking for a break?
Yeah, I would be criminal to call anything that I do tough. So, yeah, I wouldn't call it tough, but certainly looking for a break. That said, Matt, I'm not sure if you're aware, the XFL starts the week after the Super Bowl, so we will be ready for that.
Oh, we are well aware. Our very own Stormy Bonantoni is going to be on the sidelines there interviewing. Like, so the way they're doing this stuff, she was telling us about it. It's like, as soon as the kicker, the leg is through the ball, she can like walk up and go talk to the kicker and stuff and whatever. And all. So it's like, you can like do these on-field interviews. It's going to be wacky. So like the guy's going to like just miss a kick by like 9 yards and she's going to have to walk up and be like, hey, why'd you miss that kick so badly? And he's going to have to answer. It's going to be great.
I have Roughnecks 10-1 to win it all already. And so if she can help me get there on that, I'd appreciate it.
There it is. Roughnecks 10-1. You heard it here first. Roughnecks 10-1. All right. So I know you don't have an official play here, at least in my sheet on side or total or anything like that. But like, let's just look. It's 1.5 in favor of the Eagles as we sit right now. If I was giving you a free 100 Matt bucks and you were going to be able to just put it on the game, are you laying the 1.5 or are you taking the points with the Chiefs?
I'd be laying the 1.5. I think the Eagles are at just about every unit better than the Chiefs, except the quarterback position, you know, and obviously that makes a big, big, big difference. This would be kind of an all-time kind of Mahomes will a team to a Super Bowl, and he can certainly do so. But Eagles offensive line is so good. We had them as the number one offensive line coming into the year. They've proven to have a historic pass rush. Both perimeter corners are really good. Run game is really good. Two really good wide receivers. I mean, it's hard for me to see where the Chiefs have an edge other than Patrick Mahomes being the greatest of all time. And maybe that's enough, but I think Eagles.
Adam, the total's kind of dancing around on this game as well. 50.5 or 51, depending on where you look. Was 49.5 for a little while, but now we're starting to see some people investing in some points in this game. What do you think the game flow kind of looks like here? And do you expect this game to get into the 50s?
So one thing we've seen all year, especially from a fantasy perspective with the Eagles, is that they want to be aggressive. They want to be vertical. They want to be pass happy. You remember a game against the Bears the Eagles had, and you can run on the Bears all day, but Bears also had a really bad pass defense, maybe one of the worst pass defenses ever. And they came out and just threw the ball on like every play against the Bears. I think they want to do that. And I think if they think they can beat the Chiefs secondary, which a lot of teams do, I think we'll see a pretty aggressive game plan from the Eagles. I think people think of the Eagles as this kind of play conservative, hand the ball to Miles Sanders, run it with Jalen Hurts. They can really have a good vertical pass game when they can. And I think that's why you're seeing the total come up a little bit.
Let's head to two plays you do have in your account. We'll start this first one here with the run game over at the Chiefs. And you have an under here on Isaiah Pacheco.
Yeah, so Pacheco's been playing awesome. Yeah, mm-hmm. I mean, awesome, you know, and I understand that he played well ahead of McKinnon, and there's been some weird stuff going on. McKinnon looked to me like he was a little bit banged up in that game. You saw when they lost all the wide receivers, they didn't even use McKinnon as a wide receiver. Like, to me, you know, McKinnon over Marcus Kemp in some of those wide receiver snaps is what I would have done. I'm not sure if Jerick McKinnon was ready to do so. And so we're using a little bit more baseline rates maybe than the market is for McKinnon versus Pacheco stuff. We could certainly be wrong, and Pacheco could be way, way, way ahead. But in these under spots on kind of biggish numbers like Pacheco has, you can get there in two ways. You know, it could be, hey, McKinnon is just plays more than the market thinks, which I think is definitely possible, or Pacheco just fails on efficiency. Or, quite frankly, we bet unders, you know, there's a 5-6% chance that Pacheco gets hurt in this game. And so, you know, there's a lot of ways you can get there on these unders. And so we thought that was enough to make a play on the Pacheco unders. I believe we have 66.5 rush plus receiving.
Adam, you're also looking at the Eagles from a rushing standpoint here, looking at kind of what's sort of become to a degree here of late a three-headed monster at running back. But you think maybe the usage will be a little bit different here in the Super Bowl, specifically for Kenneth Gainwell?
Similar stuff. You know, you've seen in the first half of both of the Eagles playoff games, Miles Sanders had 13 touches in the first half. I'm sorry, 13 opportunities in the first half of their first playoff game, 11 opportunities in the first half of the conference championship game. And then they've just like forgotten about him. And I think it's been because the game has been in hand, and you've seen some really good Kenneth Gainwell performances in the second half of each of the last two games. I think the market got out a little bit too far ahead of their skis on assuming Gainwell has this really big role. Game's close. All the chips are down. Super Bowl, I think we'll see Gainwell in more of that 5-7 opportunity slash touch range rather than the 10, 12, 13 we've been seeing lately. But yeah, you know, there's certainly a path to being wrong here too, just because at the running back position, I think the Eagles are smart enough to know there's not really a big difference between Miles Sanders and Kenny Gainwell just from a talent or efficiency perspective.
Adam, we have these props where you can pick the player to have the most rushing yards, the most receiving yards. Your projections right now, who do you have leading the game in rushing yards, leading the game in receiving yards?
Leading the game in rushing yards, I would guess. Let me see what we have here. You have to give me a second here. Yeah, so we have Miles Sanders with the most carries in the game. We have Miles Sanders at 14.6 carries. Isaiah Pacheco, 10.9. Jalen Hurts, 9.0. Still could be some massaging there. So yeah, it's certainly not a game I think I would want to invest heavily. I think from a straight up perspective, it would either be Miles or Pacheco, obviously. In terms of receiving yards, quite frankly, I mean, it's hard to see it not being Kelsey from a just baseline perspective. We do have AJ Brown close. We have AJ Brown, 77.1. Travis Kelsey, 77.8. Dallas Goedert, 53.5. Devontae Smith, 70.8. So yeah, you know, I think there's a lot of options there. I haven't looked at the prices on that, but I'd be willing to lean into some uncertainty in that market for sure, because a lot of those guys are clumped together.
Of course, Adam and the team over there at Established Run are incredibly super sharp, but way back in the day, Adam and I have put up some money to do some things that absolutely have no sharpness to them whatsoever, rock, paper, scissors, et cetera, all the different things like that back in the day. Adam, Gatorade color, heads or tails? Are you a heads or tails guy every single time? What Gatorade color you like?
Tails never fails. And actually, someone touted me a sharp Gatorade take, and I'm having trouble remembering what it is now. But I do think that, like, with some work, you can, like, really hone in on the Gatorade stuff. You can find the answer there. I don't have the take. I will text you if I can find who touted me the take.
We will. We'll get to that for sure. And again, just because football season is ending doesn't mean you can't get some good stuff over there at Establish a Run, one of the very best basketball sites as well, giving out really, really good looks and takes on the DFS side of things as well as from a prop perspective. You can find him on the Twitter machine at Adam Levitan. He's Adam Levitan. Thanks for the time, buddy. Appreciate it.
All right, good luck on the Super Bowl.
Off we go here. He thinks he has a Gatorade take. We'll see if he texts it to me or not. Listen, if Adam's got a Gatorade take, I'm going to probably bet it, which we can't bet here, but good on Arizona.
Right
we'll
after
it.
The show.
Yeah, we'll get on Arizona and get it done.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Attention all wrestling aficionados. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. This is Freddie Prinze Jr., and I am beyond thrilled to announce that our wrestling extravaganza is back, and joining me once again is the one and only Jeff Dye.
Get ready as we highlight the most jaw-dropping matches, dissect the fiercest feuds, and uncover the latest twists and turns in the world of pro wrestling.
We're dusting off our legendary side quests and unleashing a barrage of brand new segments that will keep you guys on the edge of your seat, like our talks on Unsanctioned Thursdays.
Freddie, you know we gotta give the people what they want. This season, we have an all-star lineup of special guests who are gonna be gracing our podcast, bringing with them their own unique insights, experiences, and all of that in the world of pro wrestling and beyond.
Whether you're a seasoned wrestling veteran or a fresh-faced newcomer, we promise an experience like no other. So buckle up, wrestling fans. Listen to Wrestling with Freddie as part of the My Cultura podcast network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Last season on the Choosing Sides F1 podcast, we established unequivocally that F1 is the pinnacle of motorsports.
Lily Herman, my co-host in season one, helped me choose a team, a driver, and then...
Well, we sent you on your jolly way.
Yeah.
I'm Tony Cam Brown, a tech, culture, and F1 commentator.
I'm Michael Costa, comedian, Daily Show correspondent.
And we're back with season two because, as it turns out, F1's newest fan is still a little...
dazed and confused.
Join us for season two of Choosing Sides F1 as we dive deeper into the rabbit hole of the pinnacle of motorsports.
Who makes money here?
What's CFD?
How do you manage a tire?
You, get back in there.
What are the rumors? What's the gossip?
But you also know that someone's listening to your radio.
I'm going
to
pull up a picture of a tea cozy. I want to see what this thing looks like.
Are you going to be doing that accent this whole pod?
Listen to season two of Choosing Sides F1 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts,
or wherever you get your podcasts. You find it.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
This is VSiN's Final Countdown with Stormy Bonatoni and Matt Brown on VSiN, the sports betting network.
This segment of VSiN Final Countdown presented by Zen Nicotine Pouches, surprisingly simple way to enjoy nicotine. Most products are either too complicated to use or don't provide the satisfaction that you're looking for, but not Zen Nicotine Pouches. Six simple ingredients, completely tobacco leaf free, and up to 1 hour of nicotine satisfaction per pouch. You can buy Zen online or find a store near you at Zen.com. That is ZYN.com today. Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical. It's an addictive chemical, Adam.
It is.
Yeah, the nicotine. Nicotine pouches. That
it is. Addictive. I've never partaken in the Zen.
No. Well, you know, what? Maybe after the show. Well, we got all kinds of stuff to do after the show. We'll drive down to Arizona and we'll just Zen the whole way down there.
Sounds perfect.
on the way to make some bets, we'll just Zen the whole way to Arizona and back.
We'll find our Zen in the desert.
Yes, it is Matt Brown. It is Adam Burke. It is producer Steph behind the glass, real person, promise you. And we are going to move on to some college basketball. We have a couple of ranked teams in going at it a little bit earlier here. We got a 7 Eastern with Florida Atlantic and UAB. Number 19 in the polls is Florida Atlantic. Looking at about a 1-point spread here, though, in favor of UAB.
Yeah, it's a tricky game because Jordan Walker's missed the last few games here for UAB. He's been a legitimate game time decision in those games, hasn't been able to go. We'll see if he's able to go in tonight's game. He's actually missed five straight. If he's able to go, line maybe suggesting that there's a chance that he's able to go tonight. That definitely helps the Blazers out quite a bit. But, I mean, Florida Atlantic, one loss on the season. They're 11-0 in Conference USA play. They're ranked for the first time in program history. They've been really, really solid. And UAB's been a team that, while the stats suggest they should be really good, they're just 6-5 in conference play. So tough to trust them. But then when you look at the line and look at the resumes for both of these teams, it seems like a pretty telling market indicator that UAB could be the side here and that Jordan Walker may be able to go.
We have at 9 Eastern, we have Houston and Wichita State, the 20-2 Houston Cougars on the road there as 12-point favorites, a total of about 131 in that one. What are we looking at here?
Yeah, Houston, I mean, number one team by a lot of the metric sites that are out there. They're laying a big double-digit number here in this one. They play at a really slow tempo, so it's going to cause them in this game to have to be really efficient in order to cover such a big number. Wichita State is not a very good offensive team, pretty good defensive team. They could shoot the three at all. They'd be in better shape here because Houston opponents are shooting a three 46.1% of the time against them, but only shooting 26.8%. So if you start thinking ahead maybe to like Final Four national championship type stuff, if Houston ran into Alabama, that would be a fascinating game because Houston wants you to shoot threes. Alabama wants to shoot threes, does so pretty well. So if you're thinking well ahead, that could be an interesting thing. But as far as tonight's game goes, I don't really like laying double-digit numbers in games that are going to be played at a very slow pace.
Washington and UCLA also at 9 Eastern. This is sitting UCLA very big, 17.5-point favorites in this one, 136 the total.
Yeah, this would be an interesting game, I think, because UCLA is a team that they don't like to shoot a lot of threes. They actually take a lot of mid-range jumpers, which typically I don't like from a team. Mm-hmm. But it's not necessarily a bad strategy taking on the Washington zone, because if you can get inside, you could take that little 14, 16-footer, usually a pretty open shot against a zone defense. Washington is a team that struggles offensively as well. They're a very bad defensive rebounding team. So UCLA may get some extra possessions in this game. They also have a top 10 turnover percentage on defense. So there's a reason why this spread is as high as it is. I don't know if UCLA covers, but I wouldn't want any part of Washington in this one.
10:30 Eastern, we have Oregon and Arizona. Arizona, 8.5-point home favorites in this one, 151 the total.
Yeah, and Arizona's a team. I mean, they had a lot of turnover from last year, but you know, still a team I think is really, really solid. And Oregon, man, I never know what to do with them because they kind of go through the motions, it feels like, in the regular season. And then all of a sudden they come here to Vegas and like win the Pac-12 championship or something like that.
Right.
Now, they didn't last year. It was UCLA and Arizona in that game. But Oregon has been this team that they just kind of all of a sudden flip the switch when they get to a certain point in the year. I don't know if they can do that here today, though. Arizona's a really, really solid team. And it seems like they're kind of rounding into form a little bit now as well. So I lean with the Wildcats over the Ducks in this one.
We got 11 Eastern, Santa Clara and Gonzaga. Gonzaga, a 14-point home favorite here. 160 is the total.
So something I think is pretty interesting about this time of the year is, you know, and I saw a Bet Rivers tweet about this yesterday, that 5 of the 10 highest handle college basketball games have come within the last week. So we're running into a part of the year now where, you know, we're 10 days away from the Super Bowl. There's no NHL. NBA, a lot of people kind of shy away from, unless they're playing same-game parlays, but they kind of shy away from betting spreads because you don't know who's in and who's out on a daily basis. But when you get to this time of the year for college basketball, a team like Gonzaga, right, everyone goes, oh, I know Gonzaga. They're right. Good every single year. Sometimes you get some price inflation out there in the market on some of these teams that maybe aren't as good as they were in the past, but have that name value. I think Santa Clara is actually a pretty solid team here. I think this number is a little bit too high. Didn't pick this one for the article, but I'm going to dig into this game a little bit more before tip-off here, and maybe Santa Clara becomes part of my card.
Another 11 Eastern, San Francisco and St. Mary's. St. Mary's, a 12-point home favorite.
Yeah, San Francisco, it's been tricky for them, and it's kind of ironic because their path this season has sort of followed along the same route as Florida, where Florida has San Francisco's former head coach, Todd Golden. Florida was very inconsistent, very up and down. Then they played the game of the year, at least in terms of what they've done so far, by upsetting Tennessee last night. San Francisco's been the same way. They've kind of been up and down, sort of all over the place, coaching change, all that kind of thing. You've got to be really efficient to beat St. Mary's. They're a top 40 offensive team, a top 5 defensive team. They play at a really slow pace. you gotta be really efficient to beat them. San Francisco's just been way too up and down here for me to do anything with this game. And they take a ton of threes, so they're kind of a high variance team. If they make them, they're good. If they don't, they struggle. So if they don't make them tonight against St. Mary's, this is a situation where San Francisco may have a hard time getting to 60 points.
Every week we have Adam Burke on this program. Every week Adam Burke comes with some schools that you didn't know exist, and they are actually playing basketball on a court with a ball and everything. And we're going to run through three of those right now. UNC Greensboro and Mercer.
You know the mascots of these two teams?
Yes, the angry penguins for Mercer and the bashful Billy Goats for Greensboro there.
Well, you're very close.
Yeah.
Mercer is the Bears, UNC Greensboro the Spartans here. Look, these two teams just played back on January 21st. Greensboro came away with a 59-48 win. Mercer took 32 mid-range jump shots in that game. Those are very low percentage shots for teams. That's pretty much what Greensboro wants you to do. They want you to take long jump shots against them, whereas they try to get to the rim. They're a very, very well-coached team. I think three is just way too light of a number here in this game. Also, UNC Greensboro, 20.5% turnover percentage on defense means they should get some extra possessions here. While I don't think Mercer is going to be all that efficient offensively. So I don't expect this game to go any different from the first meeting between these two teams where Greensboro won by 11. Change of venue tonight, obviously, but I still think Greensboro's the side here laying three.
Then we have Pacific and Pepperdine, with Pacific being a slight favorite here in this one.
Yeah, Pacific and Pepperdine popping peas in this game here. And look, this is a massive total in this game, 161.5, 162. So if nothing else, even if Pacific doesn't win, mm-hmm. maybe this game should be exciting, should be interesting, but I do like the Pacific Tigers in this one. They beat Pepperdine back on January 7th on the road by 5. There were no big outliers in that box score to me. I didn't see anything that would take me off of Pacific in this game. And Pacific is a team that they defend pretty well from three. They shoot pretty well from three. And Pepperdine, they don't like to take threes. So this is one of those where I think if Pepperdine scores, they do it by twos. Pacific does it by threes. Obviously, three is greater than two, so I went ahead and laid the one here with Pacific in this game.
Pepperdine, just the reason they don't like to shoot three, they just like to just walk around campus, just look around and see, like, oh man, I can't believe I actually go to school here. This is amazing.
They're the Pepperdine
like,
waves.
They sit there and they look. It's built on a cliff. You never know whether the school is going to fall off into the ocean or not. It's fantastic. It's a great place to go to school. And then we have Northwestern State and Houston Christian. Northwestern State in Natchitoches, Louisiana. Thank you very much. Mm-hmm. And Houston Christian, I'm going to guess in Houston.
That's a good guess. Yes. You got the Demons and the Christians here, actually, yes. In this one, which is pretty interesting. Houston Christian calls themselves the Huskies. They're not actually the Christians. But Northwestern State is the Demons, and they're laying 6.5 in this game. And these two teams played a week ago, and I almost took Northwestern State, and I probably should have because it would have helped continue this bit that we have on Thursdays where I come on and talk about college basketball teams that nobody knows existed, as you mentioned. But Northwestern State,
except for me, it's 45 minutes from where I grew up. So, like, I actually did know that this one existed. That's the only reason I know about Northwestern State.
So, Northwestern State was a 12-point favorite in that game. They won by 19. I think that they could very well do the same thing here. And if you are watching on the screen, Houston Christian doesn't even have a logo. So, it gives you an idea of how popular this game is here. But
they're just the whole NCAA.
Exactly.
Yeah, they're the whole NCAA.
If they are, then my 6.5 may not be the best course of action here. But Northwestern State forces a lot of turnovers. Houston Christian turns the ball over a ton. That wasn't actually the case in the first meeting, where Houston Christian only turned it over one more time than Northwestern State, and Northwestern State still won by almost 20. So I expect this game to go the same. Big discrepancy here in three-point shooting between these two teams as well. So the Demons over the Christians tonight, Northwestern State -6.5 over Houston Christian.
The man to my right puts a bunch of great content over on VSiN.com, and we're going to hit on some of that content whenever we come back here in Hour 2, talk about some tips for Super Bowl prop betting, some other stuff that you have going on over there at VSiN.com. Stick around.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only, must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
It's Freddie Prinze Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff. Are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddy?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddy on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Last season, on the Choosing Sides F1 podcast, we established unequivocally that F1 is the pinnacle of motorsports.
We did, but honestly, I was left with more questions than answers, Tony.
I'm Tony Karen Brown, a tech, culture, and F1 commentator.
And I'm Michael Costa, comedian from The Daily Show.
Join us for season 2 of Choosing Sides F1.
Our F1 102, if you will.
And get all of the answers.
All of them? Listen to Choosing Sides F1 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts,
or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Julian Edelman from Games with Names, and we're on a search to find the greatest games of all time with the players and coaches who lived in them. Ever wonder what a locker room feels like at a halftime of a Super Bowl? Or what about the after parties? We're going to dive deep into the most iconic games with the most iconic people. New episodes dropping weekly. Listen to Games with Names on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.